Welcome to Tardi Mechanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Adina Schmidman. Mazel Tov, I'm completing Sefer Yeshayahu. Please join the Nachyomi community for a special Siyum with Mrs. Shalvi Friedman on Tuesday, September 22nd at 12 noon Eastern, 7 p.m. Israel time. Mrs. Friedman will present between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, the timely message of Yeshayahu. You can register for our programs, explore our Torah Imecha Sefer resources, and support Torah Imecha Nachyomi all in one place at ouwomen.org/Sefer Summary. Wishing you an easy and meaningful fast, a Gmar Chasima Tova, and much continued Hatzlacha in your learning. And now for today's Perek.
Welcome to Torah Imecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Leah Feinberg, and today we will be studying Yirmiyahu Perek Chet, Chapter 8. Today's Perek continues from yesterday's Perek. And in yesterday's parak, we saw that Hashem had made it abundantly clear to Yirmiyahu that the fate of Yerushalayim had already been determined. The people were so steeped in their evil ways that the destruction of the city and the Mikdash was the only way to pave the way for a new beginning, for the return of the nation to Hashem. And at the end of the chapter, the Navi foretold a day when the sounds of joy at wedding ceremonies would cease to be heard in Yerushalayim. On that day, says the Navi, in our opening verse today, not only would Yerushalayim be filled with the bodies of those slain in the conquest of the city, but pasuk aleph ba'et hahin Hashem yotziu et atzmot malchei Yehuda ve'et atzmot sarav ve'et atzmot hakohanim ve'et atzmot hanvi'im ve'et atzmot yoshvei Yerushalayim mikivrehem. At that time, says Hashem, the bones of the kings of Yehuda, the bones of their officers, the Kohanim and Nevi'im and inhabitants of Yerushalayim, will be exhumed from their graves and laid in the streets, placed before the sun and the heavenly bodies that they worshipped in their lifetimes. And yet, those taken to captivity will prefer death to the exile that they will suffer. The Gemara in Sanhedrin 96b explains how this verse was realized. Upon hearing of the prophecies of Yirmiyahu, the neighboring kingdoms of Ammon and Moab called upon Nebuchadnezzar to invade Yerushalayim. But Nebuchadnezzar hesitated, on the grounds that there would be no space for his massive armies to camp. So they suggested digging up the graveyards and using them as campgrounds for the soldiers. And sadly, we saw this prophecy realized in modern history as well, as similar atrocities were committed by the Nazis, Yimach Shemam V'Zichram. At that time, the Navi called out to the people, Pasuk Dalet ve'amarta alehem, ko amar Hashem, hayiplu ve'lo yakumu? So says Hashem, will they fall and not rise again? The second half of the Pasuk is interpreted differently by various commentators, which mandates a different reading. Some see it as a statement. Malbim, for example, im yashuv ve'lo yashuv. Malbim explains this as an answer to the question, Hayiplu velo yakumu, will they fall and not rise again? They will indeed fall and not rise again. If they persist in going through the motions of repentance, im yashuv, if they do tshuva insincerely, velo yashuv, but it's really not tshuva, because they then return to their sinfulness. And Chazal teach that one who sins intentionally with the attitude of echtev ve'ashuv, it's okay for me to sin, I'll sin, and then, you know, I'll go to shul on Yom Kippur, I'll clap a few al-chaits, and then I'll be forgiven. But one who goes in with that attitude, I'll sin and be forgiven, and then go and sin again, is not forgiven on Yom Kippur, because his tshuva is insincere and meaningless. Others, Mefarshim, see this as a second question. Im yashuv velo yashuv, are they not doing tshuva? Because they think that even if they do return, Hashem will not return to them? Hayitachein? Is such a thing possible? Madua shoviva ha'am hazeh. Yerushalayim mishuva nitzacha techaziku betarmit me'anu lashuv. Why does this nation, Yerushalayim, eternally persist in its rebelliousness, holding on to their deceit and refusing to return? I have listened, I've heard their words. They do not speak honestly. They don't regret their evil behavior, saying, what have I done? They persist in their wayward course like wild horses plunging into battle. Even the stork in the sky knows its seasons. The dove, the swallow, and the crane all know when to migrate, Yet my nation doesn't anticipate Hashem's justice. Yirmiyahu is speaking at a time when it should have been very obvious to the people that punishment was at hand. They should have seen the connection between sin and punishment. The land had been laid waste by Sanherib, just as the Nevi'im had prophesied. 10 of the 12 tribes of Israel had been exiled, and many cities of Yehudah had been destroyed as well. The enemies surrounding the entire tiny country of Judea were encroaching on all sides, and yet the people lived in denial of their own dire situation, preferring the rosy predictions of the false prophets to the desperate pleas of Yirmiyahu. Malbim interprets Pasuk Chet, verse 8, in keeping with the struggle with which he was involved in his own time, battling the Haskalah movement in the 19th century in Eastern Europe. Echa tomru, chachamim anachnu, v'torat Hashem itanu, achein hine la sheker asa'et, sheker sofrim. How can you claim we are wise, that wisdom can only be achieved through reason and scientific exploration? The Torah is with us, not of divine origin. Man cannot be held to demands placed upon him by external sources. Man is held only to that which his own mind can prove to be true. Any other claim is false. Thus they derided the word of Hashem. And Malbim goes on to explain that objective right and wrong cannot be determined according to man's subjectivity. By denying the fundamental truth of the divine authorship of Torah, they denied themselves the very foundations of true wisdom. Therefore, says Hashem, I will give their wives and their fields to others. From young to old, they all seek profit. Navi and Kohen, they all deal falsely. They make light of the crisis facing my nation, saying, Shalom, Shalom, when there is no peace. They ought to be embarrassed of their behavior, but they have no shame. Pasuk Yud Gimel, verse 13, is the beginning of the section we read as the Haftarah on Tisha B'Av, which continues into Perek Tet, which we'll study tomorrow. This is a heartrending section foretelling the impending destruction and exile of the Jewish nation. Pasuk Yud Gimel, Asof Asifem Nu'um Hashem, Ein Anavim Bagefen, Ve'ein Te'inim Bate'ina, Ve'he'ela Navel Va'etein Lahem Ya'avrum. I will surely consume them, says Hashem. There shall be no grapes on the vine and no figs on the fig tree. The leaf will wither. All that I have given them will pass away from them. The specific mention of grapes and figs brings to mind the image of prosperity and security described by earlier Nevi'im. Ish tachat gafno v'tachat te'inato, every man seated beneath his own grapevines and fig trees, which are both ubiquitous in Eretz Yisrael. And here the Navi inverts the image. The destruction will be so pervasive that not a single grape or a single fig will remain. The emphasis is on that which has been gifted to us by Hashem, a gift we took for granted and failed to recognize. Mishbitzot Zahav notes that ultimately, at the time of the Churban, despite this prophecy of complete devastation, we find that when a remnant of the people remained in the land under the leadership of Gedaliah ben Achikam, he tells them to gather grapes, figs, and olives, to prepare wine and oil, implying that these were to be found after all. And the commentators explained that had this remnant agreed to follow the mitzvot of the Torah and walk in the ways of Hashem, the exiles might have returned before the prescribed time. Hashem, in his mercy, had allowed us a reprieve, even in the moments of judgment. But when even this remnant defied the Navi and descended into Egypt, as we'll learn later in the Sefer, this earlier prophecy was indeed fulfilled, and the land lay desolate. Pasuk Yud Dalid, Al Ma Anachnu Yoshvim. The Navi envisions the people saying to one another, why are we just sitting here, scattered in our small villages, exposed to the enemy? Hey, Asfu, V'Navo El Arei HaMivtzar. Let us gather together and enter into the fortified cities where we'll be better able to defend ourselves. And the Navi now includes himself in his dire prediction of their fate. V'Nidmasham Ki Hashem Elokeinu Hadimanu Vayashkenu Meirosh Ki Chatanu LaHashem. We will meet our doom there, for Hashem, our God, has cut us off, has given us bitter water to drink, for we have sinned against Hashem. Despite our stated intention to fight to defend ourselves, we will sit there silently, for Hashem has paralyzed us, and all we can do is accept our punishment, for we have indeed sinned against Hashem. Pasuk tetvav kavei l'shalom ve'ein tov. La'et marpe v'hinei ve'ata. We hoped for peace, but no good came, for a time of healing. But we are faced with terror. Malbim interprets this pasuk in keeping with his view that these psukim reflect a discussion between the people, the prophet, and Hashem. And here the people ask, we placed our hopes in peace. Why haven't they materialized? And the prophet responds, one who is sick doesn't just hope that he'll get better. He actively tries to heal himself. He goes to the doctor. He takes the prescribed medicines. The Nevi'im, your doctors, have prescribed repentance, but you merely continued in your ways. So now you are faced with terror. The terror is given expression in Pasuk Tet Zayin. The snorting of horses is heard from Dan. The whole land trembles at the sound of the neighing of the strong ones. They have come and consumed the land and all it contains, cities and all of their inhabitants. Malbim explains the mention of Dan as an allusion to the bracha given by Yaakov Avinu to his son Dan before his death. Yehi Dan nachash alei derech. Dan will be like a snake on the path that bites the heels of his enemy's horses. The people question, what has become of Yaakov's blessing that Dan would defeat his enemies? How can it be that our enemies pursue us, having conquered the land of Dan? And Hashem responds, I will send venomous serpents among you, snakes that cannot be charmed, and they shall bite you, says Hashem. You compare Dan to a snake? The enemy will be like the snake, poisonous serpents who will bite you directly. The people assumed they could rely on their own strength and strategies to defeat the enemy, and Hashem makes clear that no one can obstruct divine justice from being carried out. The remaining six psukim of the perek express Yirmiyahu's grief over the upcoming tragedy. If only I could restrain my agony, but my heart is breaking. I hear the pleading voices of my people from afar. Is Hashem no longer in Sion? Is her king no longer there? While most of the commentators interpret these voices as part of Yirmiyahu's prophecy of Chorban and destruction waiting the kingdom of Yehuda, Malbim suggests that Yirmiyahu is referring to the 10 tribes that had already been exiled and were awaiting return. But when they heard of the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash and the exile of the nations, including the king descended from Beit David, they lost hope for their own redemption. And Hashem responds, why have they angered me with their idols, with their foreign vanities? And the refrain, expressing the despair of the 10 tribes, the harvest has passed, the summer is over, and we have not been saved. And the Navi goes back to his own expression of despair. Al shever batami, Pasuk Chaf Aleph 21, al shever batami, hoshbarti, kadarti, shama hechazikatni. Over the brokenness of my people, I am broken, I am despondent, desolation has taken hold of me. Malbim explains that the 3 expressions of heartbreak correspond to the 3 stages in which Nebuchadnezzar exiled the people. Hatzari ein begilad, im rofei ein sham, ki madua lo alta aruchat batami. Is there no balm in Gilad? Is there no healer there? Why is the health of my people not cured? It should be noted that tsari is a plant that grows abundantly in Gilad and was used for healing. Ma'ari Kara explains that in a place where both healers and medicine are to be found, if people are dying, one has to wonder why. The prophet is asking, in a place where there are healers, namely Nevi'ei Hashem, who are prescribing tshuva compared to medicine, while Hashem's presence is still to be found in the Beit HaMikdash, how is it that their words are not attended to? And the people are condemned. Mi ten roshi maim ve'eini mekor dim'a ve'evke yomam v'layla et chalalei bat ami. If only my head were made of water and my eyes a fountain of tears, I would weep day and night for the dead of my people. Mishbitzot Zahav explains the Navi's desire for more tears, in that tears are healing and awaken feelings of hope and prayer for the rebuilding of the Beit HaMikdash. The Midrash records that the Babylonian captors did not allow the Jewish exiles to cry until they reached the Euphrates River, where they lay down and wept, as described in Sefer Tehillim, Al Naharot Bavel, Sham Yashavnu Vegam Bachinu. When we reached the rivers of Bavel, that we sat down there and there we cried. They didn't allow them to cry earlier for fears that their tears would awaken Rachmei Shamayim, divine mercy.
May our own tears serve to awaken Rachmei Shamayim as we continue to long for the rebuilding of the Mikdash. Bimheira b'yameinu. Amen. Thank you for learning together. L'refua shleima l'Yonina Sima b'Dafna Hinda, Jennifer hayikara shelanu, v'lipetzuei tzahal, achenu hayikarim, b'toch sha'ar cholei Yisrael. Nina v'Chaim Schenker.